sorry, I just wanting to get my life sorted. So the Messianic Jews, those were the Jews who at the day of Pentecost received the Holy Spirit, and then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord spoke to them and through them. And we know that this in that time, that's where Peter preaches this amazing sermon. 3,000 were added to the church. And the Bible says, daily when they met, they broke bread together. Daily they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. But in that time, daily there were numbers added to the church. Daily numbers were added. People got baptized. People got filled with the Holy Spirit. People got saved, people got set free. So those were the Messianic Jews that James is writing this letter to. But we know that in Acts 1 verse 8, God says to them, when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be my witness in Jerusalem, where they found themselves. And then he said to them, in Samaria, which is like the bordering town. And then he says, in Judea and to the ends of the earth. So God's already spoken to them in Acts 1 verse 8. He says to them, guys, this gospel that you will receive will not only be for you. So James is now writing this letter, and some of the theologians think that James wrote this letter in the same time where the church were going through heavy persecution, where Christians, the Messianic Jews, were persecuted for their faith, where they weren't safe in their own houses, that people were looking out for them. And then in that time, they were dispersed all over. They weren't together anymore like they were in Jerusalem when they received the Holy Spirit, and they were filled. They stay there, and they weren't together anymore. Now they were scattered all over. And James is writing this letter to them, and he's saying to them, guys, I know that you are scattered all over, but count it all joy. And he starts this letter off with saying that, I know that you are, so let's read what the word says. James 1 verse 1, that says the next slide. James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete in lacking nothing. So, what is James trying to say to them? He's saying to them, guys, you are scattered all over the place and you are so worried for your own safety, but count it all joy, because what you are facing is exactly what the Lord faced. When he was on his way to the cross, Jesus also faced trials of many kinds, and he had to go to the Father and say, hey, I don't think I'm going to do this, but let it not be my will, but your will. So just to go back, some background on the book of James, if you go back to the previous slide. So who all knows this? This is the Bible Project. This is a really good thing of an example where you can get a quick summary of what the book is about. If you're a visual person like myself, you would love and enjoy this. They draw throughout there and they explain to you. And this is the summary page at the end. So in this time, you'll see there, just we're going to focus on the first part there. So the one in the middle that says the introduction. So it says life's trials produces endurance that can make us perfect. So the fact that James is saying to them, guys, count it all joy. He's saying to them, don't worry. Guys, you will be all right. And then he's going to say, the testing of your faith. So in that time, there were silversmiths. And a silversmith, what did they do when they gathered all the silver? They used to throw it into a fire and allow all the impurities to come up. And then once all that impurities is up on top, they surface it away and then they throw it away. So James is saying to them, that's exactly the testing of our faith that's happening here. That is how Francis Chan interprets it, and now he says it. And he just said that, guys, when you look at the silversmith, that's not the fact that they're wiping away the impurities, but the actual goal is to make the silver so pure that they can see their own reflection in it. And isn't that the example that Christ was for us? Eh? Now you understand why we face trials of many kinds, because in the trials of many kinds, we are being purified. And once we are going through that, it's not lacquer, we know that. But during that time, we are becoming more like Christ. That God takes away that impurities of our lives, and then when He burns it again, and He looks through us, He sees Christ in us, the hope of glory. And He sees Christ in us, who has died for us on that cross. So James is writing this to the church, and he's saying to them, guys, just as Christ went to the cross, let us also endure. And that is where he goes on. So let's read what he says, the next slide. And he says, see, if you lack wisdom, let us ask God, who generally gives us without reproach. And let it be given him. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For one who is to doubt is like a wave tossed and thrown, that is driven and tossed by the wind. For the person must not... Sorry, I just need to get water. I'm just feeling my... Was not supposed that he will receive anything from the Lord. But if he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's not a thing to receive when you are going to trials, eh? To say that if you're a double-minded man, you're unstable in all your ways, and God can't use you. But when we look at what he's actually trying to say to them, he's trying to encourage them. And encouragement we can take in two different ways. It gets either you feel clapped, like a clap and a hug, right? At the same time. You feel like someone's just giving you a clap and a hug at the same time, but actually you're being encouraged to say, you are going to be all right. And you know the other saying that say, hey, put on your big old panties because you can do this? Hey? So that's exactly what James is telling the church. And he's the leader during that time. He was leading the church during that time. And he's saying this to the church, hey guys, you need to put on your big old panties here. He's saying to them, guys, we're going to have to let the testing of our faith so that it produces steadfastness, so that it can have its full effect, that it's perfect and complete in lacking nothing. Because in our current situation and in our current lives, we are facing with trials of many kinds. Currently, you might have an issue where you're really trusting the Lord for something for years, and you just haven't seen that breakthrough come true. And you're still trusting the Lord, and you're still putting out your faith, but you are faced with this thing on a daily basis, whether it's your health, whether it's your physical health, or spiritual health, or mental health, or whatever situation you're facing yourself in, is that the fact is that God is with you in that time. And that's exactly what James is trying to tell them, is that God said, I will be with you. Wherever you go, I will go with you. You will be my witness, but you will receive power. And that power is what I bring to you. And that's where the testing of their faith is coming in, as the silversmith puts that silver back in for a seventh time and says, burn, because I'm not happy yet. I can't see my reflection in the silver. You might feel like that is you right now, where God is really pressing in to your situation that you are trusting Him for. And you are being put back into the fire daily to say, be purified. Purification is not a... It's not a failure. You didn't fail at anything. Or it's not a paksla or anything like that. It is an encouragement. It is God wanting us to become more like Him. So when we do face trials of many kinds, friends, let us count it all joy. Let us take it as God is working Himself in us. Let us encourage one another to say, God's plan is for you. He is not against you, my brother. He is with you, my sister. Just as He was with the tribes of Israel and were scattered all over, this first generation Christians now receive the call to go into the world, the unknown. They were scattering and they were afraid, because during that time as well, Saul, who was Paul, has also been persecuting, and he was ruthless. And maybe today you're facing that and you're feeling like, I'm feeling like there's a Saul, that's daily bringing my flaws and what I fall short of into my space. And I don't like that. I don't like to be faced at the fact that I have this lacking, as Carolyn said just now. I'm faced with this. I disqualify myself already because I feel that I'm lacking in this area. James 1 verse 9 says, let the lowly boast in exalting, in the rich humiliation, because of the flower like grass pass away, for the sun rises and its scorching heat, and it withers the grass. Flowers fall and its beauty perish. So shall it be when a rich man fade away in the midst of the pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. So what I'm saying to us today, church, is not that it's going to be easy. I'm saying that God is with you, and we have to allow the trial that we are going and that we are facing to bring its course. If we don't get to the point where the trial don't finish its course, we're not going to get the reward that is promised at the end of the life. If Jesus didn't have to die, none of us would have sat here today. There wouldn't have been a world left. So when you are facing those trials, let us be encouraged. Let us encourage one another. And just now, we're going to be practical about this. We're not going to just sit here, because it's not just you hearing what I'm saying that is changing you, but it's you stepping out practically and putting it on something to say, God, I don't see how this is going to work out, but I'm putting my trust in you. We're going to write everything that we're trusting the Lord for, because it's easy for us to prophesy and to testify once we have gone through the trial, but it's difficult once we are faced in the trial. Because the enemy plays around on that and he says to you, where's your God now? And I'm sure that's what the enemy was telling these people. He was telling them, where's your God now? You are scattered. You know, you're like a sheep without a shepherd. You're just scattered all over the world. You don't know where to go, what to do. You don't know who to trust anymore. You don't know who to speak to anymore. Why did you just lock yourself up in your room? No one cares about what you're feeling. No one worries about you. Why did you just do that? But that's not what God called you. He says, you will receive power. And if we don't operate in that power, imagine those Christians, if they had to stop sharing the gospel, where would the church have been today? If Doubting Thomas didn't go to India, share the gospel with the Hindus, would there have been Christians in India? And the trials that we face are not physical as the trials that those people faced in that time. And if I had to respond with you to a letter like that as a leader to say, I love you, but count it all joy. You have to let the testing of your faith be done in order to become whatever Lord is doing in your life. Whether it is to be faithful in what He's given you, the little, or whether it's faithful in the much. Whether your trials is so bad that it's facing you, that you face with it daily, or whether that trial is keeping you back. So James, when we read James, this is just an introduction, but this is what the book is all about. The book is all about a church, a people group, being persecuted for their faith, being faced with trials on a daily basis that put their life in danger, that put their life at risk. But God is with them. And if you read on, we said, blessed is the man who receives a steadfast trial. And that is just what I've read now. Is the trial. For when he stood the test of faith, he will receive a crown, which God has promised. Let no one say, when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God do not tempt with evil. He himself tempt no one. But each person is tempted when he's lured in by its own desires, then the desires which conceived gave birth to sin. And sin, sorry, fully grown. Parani killed, eh? Oh. Fully grown brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. And here it goes. And what I like about the fact that in the beginning of the letter, James is already giving them hope. And this is where it comes in. Says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. For every good and perfect gift comes from above, with whom the Lord has no... Oh, thank you. Thanks, Robert. And those shadows due to change of his own will and brought us forth the word of truth that we should stand, be kind of the first fruit creatures. So when we look at that passage, God is saying to us as a people group, and James is telling and reminding this to the Israel, the Messianic Jews, is telling them, you are a blessing to the mankind. Imagine someone telling you during a trial that your trial is a blessing to mankind. Hey? Did you want to just clap that person and say, no, man. You're not hearing right from God here. You're hearing things that you're wanting to bring to me. But James is telling this to the scattered people of Israel. He's saying to them, guys, you are a blessing to mankind. Because every good and perfect gift, and he's not just speaking to material stuff here, speaking to us. Therefore, character, bad character cannot be cast out by any demonic activity or any spiritual activity. Bad character is something that you grow out of. Good character is something that is built, not in a season, not in good times, but in trials. Because that is when you see someone's character coming out. That is the time you see the real person being squashed, what comes out from the inside. Because character is built during trials and tribulations. And if you see someone with a good character and you admire that and you inspire to that, ask that person, tell me your trials. Share those trials with me. Don't share the testimonies of how you came through it. Share what you did in the season. when you were going through the season. Because we're so keen to get to the point where the crown is on put on our heads and we're like, oh, well, good and faithful servant. But we don't ask regarding the trial. What happened during that trial? How did you respond during that trial? I'm here now, teach me your ways. I want your character and I'm inspired and I'm admiring, but teach me what your trials were. And I think that is the point where we need to start. And this is just the start of James's letter to this people. And we know later on his encouragement becomes a little bit more practical. He says that, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Hey, we like to quote it, but this is where it's coming bold from. We like to say, go, but we don't ever say, why? We like to say, do, but we never said how. And it's usually in those trials where we ourselves are faced with our own selfless or selfish beings. And during that time is where the real you comes out. When you squeeze a lemon, you're not going to get a sweet orange out of it. But if you squeeze a lemon, what you're going to get out is lemon juice. And if you don't put sugar in, it's not going to taste nice. So what is your story today? If I had to squeeze you right now, who would reflect out of you? The husbands might say, they were big. Hey, Katie. But when someone squeezes you, what is it that's going to come out of you? This brings me back to one of my favorite books in the Bible. For those who spend lots of time with me and know me, would know that the book of Philippians is a book that I go to whenever I'm faced with any trial, when I'm faced with any difficulty. I go to the Lord, I go cry at His feet. I'm like, Lord, what's up? What's happening with this? Because this book speaks to me. It's because Paul, he finds himself in prison during this time. He has nothing left. He's on his way to death. He knows that's where he's going. He's not going to come out again to be able to come and share the gospel, to be able to come and share with anyone. And he was told not to come to Rome. He was warned not to come there. But he knew that's what what God had in store for him. So the book of Philippians, he's writing to the church of Philippians and he's saying to them, guys, yes, I'm in prison, but I'm having a time of my life. I'm going through this trial and I'm on my way to death row, but I'm having this amazing time. The beginning of the book, he speaks about, thank you for sending the theologians in the house, what's his name? Ephroditus, what's his? Yeah? Hey? Is that his name? Okay, anyways. But the guy who came from the town, and actually came to bring him something. And he says to them, thank you for sending me these gifts. He's saying to them, thank you guys, I appreciate your gifts. I've ministered all over this place, but we know that in this book, he also addresses the church leaders. Philippians 2 is close to my heart. Whenever you speak to me, I will always quote Philippians 2 to you. Philippians 2, where God speaks, where Paul's saying to the church, guys, this unity thing that's among you that you are struggling with. You know, Jesus, who was equal to God, didn't count himself equal to God, but instead humbled himself even to the point of death, even death on the cross. He took on the form of a servant, though he was equal to God. But he's saying, so you guys must be with the same spirit. And then we all know that in Philippians 3, Paul continues to say, hey guys, rejoice again. And I say rejoice. And then he goes into Philippians 4, where we quote so nicely and says, bring all your worries and your cares to God. Bring all prayer with supplication and everything. Present your request to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But Philippians 4:10-13 is the crux of the book for me. I rejoice in the Lord greatly now in the Lent that I received concerning him. Indeed concerning, but had no opportunity. Now that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know that to be brought low, and I know to abound. In every and any circumstance, I have learned in the secret of facing plenty, hunger, abundance, and need. And then the word that we all quote so beautifully, that I can do all things to Christ who strengthens me. But Paul saying to them, guys, and the band can come up, it's not about the fact that I can do all things to Christ who strengthens me, that's the thing. It's because I know what it is to be hungry. I have felt hunger. I had lots of stuff. And I have lots of stuff, and you have sent me stuff, and I'm thankful for it. But I know through Christ, I can do all things. And maybe that's the same thing that James was trying to tell the guys. Guys, I understand you are scattered all over. You are like a sheep without a shepherd. You are about to be slaughtered. But know this, that you can do all things to Christ who strengthens you. We're going to go into a time of ministry now. We're going to hand out the communion as well. Richard, can you and the team quickly hand out the communion? Thank you. And as the band is ministering to us, the Bible says that when we do this, he will be with us. It takes you back to a story in Luke 24. After Jesus has been crucified, and everyone think that it's over. Everyone think that what Jesus has said and what his promise is not going to come into fulfillment. And there were two men that was walking out of Jerusalem. And they were walking on their own way. And they were distressed in that time. And Jesus came alongside them and walked with them. But their distress and their distress was so much that they didn't recognize the person that was walking with them. Until they came to their house and it was late night. And they asked Jesus, "Would you like to come in?" And they sat down and they had a meal together. And only once Jesus took the bread and he broke it, they realized that he was actually with them the whole time. And then they looked at each other and they said with this excitement in them, and they said, "Hey, didn't something burn within you when he was breaking up the scriptures to you? Didn't something burn within you when he opened up it for us?" And today that is my question to you. When you're breaking this bread, is there something that is burning in you that's saying, "Hey God, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm going through, you are with me. Your promise is true. God says that every time you drink and eat of this, I will be with you." The Greek word which koinonia, it means that there's a fellowship and intimacy between you and Jesus right now. That no one can ever come so intimately close to you. That's how intimate God is with us. And that's how intimately he is wanting to be with us, no matter the circumstance, no matter the trials, no matter the purification, no matter what you are facing, he is and he will be intimate with you when you allow him to. So let's allow God this morning. I'm going to give some time, and then there's some sticky notes and a pen. And we're going to practically write down the things that we are trusting God for, but yet have not experienced breakthrough. I want you to go put it at the cross this morning. Put it at the feet of Jesus this morning. We're going to leave everything, we're leaving it at Jesus' feet. So I'm going to give some time to take communion, be on your own, just experience God, experience the Holy Spirit with you. And then once you're ready, you go write your thing, whatever you want to, and there's pens as well, and then you can put it at the bottom of the cross. Thank you, Jesus.
Just not a trouble. Hallelujah. You Spirit.